You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. My name is Fred Flight, Senior Vice President for the Center for Security Policy, substituting for your usual guest, Frank Gaffney. My next guest is Bill Gertz. He is Senior Editor at the Washington Free Beacon, Inside the Ring columnist at the Washington Times, author of I, War, War and Peace in the Information Age, and frankly, I think he is one of the smartest guys I know when it comes to national security. Bill, welcome.
Good to be on the show.
Bill, it's great to be here, and especially since I'm a former CIA officer, there's a topic, a very troubling topic I'd like to talk to you, and that is this former CIA officer who was recently arrested in Hong Kong, allegedly because he was spying for China and turned over some very sensitive information about U.S. intelligence operations in China to the Chinese. Tell us what you know about this.
Yeah, this is a very, very serious espionage case, although legally right now it's limited to initial charges of illegally retaining classified information. The suspect is a guy named Jerry Lee, and he is a clandestine service trained case officer who worked for the CIA between 1994 and 2007. And he's suspected by U.S. officials, counterintelligence officials, of compromising as many as 18 sources, recruited sources in China, and resulting in the loss of those sources. One former counterintelligence official described it as a Chinese Aldrich Ames, who Ames, of course, was the CIA counterintelligence turncoat who spied for the Soviet Union and Russia and gave up all of the CIA sources in Russia.
Bill, can you talk about the extent of the damage that Jerry Lee may have done to U.S. intelligence operations in China? And I understand that the CIA believed for some time that there was a major mole who was compromising their operations.
Well, yes, that's the case. Beginning around 2010 was when the sources started being rolled up inside of China. And, you know, in the FBI, they used to call that a clue. And so that began a counterintelligence investigation together with the FBI. And apparently there were differences between CIA counterintelligence folks and the FBI, which does counterespionage investigations. And they landed upon this Jerry Lee figure, suspecting him. And as far back as August of 2012, they did the FBI, that is, did a clandestine search of his hotel room in Hawaii as he was transiting from Hong Kong, where he lived, to the United States, to the mainland United States. And they found two books which contained detailed information on the identities of the sources that are believed to have been compromised. So that's really the crux of the matter. Whether they can prove that Jerry Lee was the mole who gave up the identities of the sources needs to be seen. These espionage cases are very difficult to prove. And the story I'm told was that they had, even though he came on the radar back in 2012, they didn't have a solid case against him, and therefore they let him go back to Hong Kong, where he lived, in hopes of keeping him under surveillance and then hopefully finding that smoking gun evidence of him actually coordinating his activities with the Chinese Ministry of State Security, the Civilian Intelligence Service.
I think it wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that if this guy is guilty, he may have led to the deaths of American sources in China.
Absolutely. This is a real serious case. But again, to be able to prove that in a court of law is going to be very difficult. But to me, and I made this point in my Washington Times column this week, was that under President Obama, these kind of fundamental security activities, namely counterintelligence, were priority. Instead, at CIA, they were more concerned about diversity in the employee ranks and things like that. and there was not a great emphasis on going after foreign spies. And as a result, this is the kind of disaster that you can expect. And this is not the first major CIA counterintelligence failure. There have been a string, as I mentioned, first with Ames, then in addition to that, all the CIA's sources in Eastern Europe were compromised, and then all of their sources in Cuba were compromised. And the Cubans put on a big dog and pony show and paraded people on television showing CIA things. So it really highlights the need to really reform U.S. intelligence to make it better and to prevent foreign intelligence services from penetrating it.
Well, you are exactly right about the distorted priorities at the CIA and the lack of interest in pursuing turncoats and the counterintelligence program. But I want to turn to another issue, and that is the nuclear posture review. There was recently a leak of this ongoing process by the Trump administration to update and modernize America's nuclear deterrent. We've heard a little bit of this so far. What have you heard? What's your assessment?
I did two pieces on this, one for the Washington Free Beacon and one for the Washington Times, my ring column. The new nuclear posture review, what came out was what was called a pre-decisional internal draft. It's pretty comprehensive, but a couple of big takeaways. One, it repudiates the Obama administration policy of seeking to reduce the role of nuclear weapons in U.S. strategy. And basically, it said that was a failure and that the idea of leading the way of reducing the reliance on nuclear weapons did not result in a response from China or Russia, which are engaged in aggressive and substantial nuclear force buildups of missiles, submarines, launchers, bombers, you name it. It's across the board. And at the same time, we neglected modernizing our force. And this is really, to me, a very dangerous strategic situation. We're really undermining this delicate deterrence calculus that we need to maintain in order to prevent an adversary from miscalculating and trying something nuclear. In the case of Russia, the report highlights a number of key elements, one of which was the fact that even though Russia is maintaining and modernizing its legacy, it is developing small nuclear weapons. And combined with precision-guided missiles, these small nuclear weapons have almost the same impact as their larger legacy weapons. So they've kind of skirted the arms control regime in developing new weapons. The other thing that it revealed was a story that I broke back in 2015, which was that they're building an underwater, high-speed, long-range drone submarine or torpedo, which will carry a megaton class warhead, that is in the millions of tons of TNT equivalent. This is really, we have no defense against this, very little, our submarines, and we have no weapon comparable to that. So that was really an eye-opener for me.
Well, Bill Gertz, I'm afraid we're out of time, but I really appreciate your analysis of this, and I urge our listeners to check out Bill Gertz's work at the Washington Times and at the Washington Free Beacon. Thank you for joining us today. My next guest will be Diana West, who will discuss what's really behind the investigations into alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Stay tuned. Thank you.